It's a new year, Nathan.
It's a new year. The same us.
Another year of comics to read.
Yes, absolutely. Hopefully.
How do you think about, what do you think about the year of comics in 2020?
Pretty good.
Pretty solid.
Yeah, I liked them.
What was your favorite comic of 2020?
I didn't know you were going to be asking me this.
Yeah, because you asked me tons of shit on the spot that I had to think about.
Yeah, true. I guess it would probably be Venom or X-Men, I think, were probably my favorites.
Okay.
Probably X-Men a little bit more than Venom. I think Venom kind of, they had like some switches with creative team or like who the artist was on the book. And I think that caused the story like tone to change. They pulled like a Wonder Woman. Mm-hmm. Almost. So probably X-Men, but I did drop off at the end of the year when X of Swords started, so I'm not sure. What about you?
Family Tree, probably.
Family Tree's really good.
You know, I didn't even think about it before I asked you.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think that one is just like, it's like so like exciting, and it's like, it's not like basic, I guess.
Yeah.
I don't know.
It keeps being like a consistently fun book.
Yeah.
And I love Phil Hester's work.
Very good.
He's the artist on that.
And
Jeff Lemire never misses.
What was your favorite trade that we read?
Their favorite? Okay, what's yours, since you're going to ask me this?
Fuck, I don't know. Let me look at our episodes.
30-ish episodes. Oh, lots of books to read. Honestly, I was taken back the most by like Afterlife with Archie. I really loved that book.
That was really fucking good.
Yeah. And I guess probably what makes more sense is like Spider-Man Life Story, since we had Chip on that episode.
That's biased. No, best book, Nathan.
The best book. I think Spider-Man Life Story is a really, really good book that everyone should go buy. Actually, I take all that away. My favorite comic book we read is Chew. So that's my answer.
Okay.
But
let's take a look here.
Yeah, we read a lot of really good stuff, so hopefully that continues.
Did we read Vader?
We read Vader. We read Hawkeye.
Oh, yeah, with
Charles
Soule.
Chick-fil-A. Yeah, with Chick-fil-A. Chick-fil-A was on there.
Let me just like scroll through all
of
these.
We had The Boys. We had The Why, The Last Man. We had The Old Guard, Kingdom Come, Year One, Green Lantern Rebirth, which I know you really enjoyed.
Oh, God.
which is sentient.
I think Doom Patrol was maybe my favorite.
Really?
Just because I think I just always wanted to read one of their books, and then I did read one, and it's one of the newer ones, and it ended up being, like, satisfying.
Yeah. We should do some trades that came out in 2020.
That could be cool. 2020
yeah.
trade.
Yeah.
Because, like... Yeah, like we can always like go back to the classics or whatnot, but I think it almost would be more advantageous to hear about the new stuff that's coming out. That,
yeah,
you know, everyone knows that like fucking Kingdom Come is good, or like Batman.
Yeah, we're not really bringing anything to the table.
We're not breaking new ground.
Yeah,
we gotta have hot takes on hot comics,
hot takes on new things.
Yeah,
so we could read, we should read like,
we gotta get like all those fucking like ads that they give you at the comic shop that they just slip you without you knowing. They're like, here's the new, like
the previews
yeah, for Marvel and DC and
shit. I love those, dude.
Yeah, they're kind of nice,
because I hate scrolling through solicitations on like news websites, because they make you like go one, like almost like page by page.
Oh, fuck,
takes
that,
and it takes way too long.
I just go to the shop and see what's there.
Yeah,
and
honestly, I'm like,
I'll get that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we should definitely do some more 2020 trades.
Maybe, but we could do like, we can add more to our rotation. Just like three old school ones, like Marvel DC Independent, and then 2020 Marvel DC Independent.
I'm not gonna be able to do that.
Yeah, it'd be so hard.
It'd be hard to keep track of. We already don't stick to our simple schedule.
Yeah, I know. Well, maybe this next one could be 2020. Well, no, Sentient was like 2019.
What?
I was thinking about Sentient, but I'm like, wait, no, that was like 2019.
I think it was like tail end of 2019. Yeah.
Okay.
Because I got it for you for Christmas, and then you didn't read it until I made you do a podcast.
Yeah.
But anyway, this is a Trade Waiters podcast.
Oh, yes.
Where we talk about comics, and my name is Nathan, and that is Daniel.
We're brothers. We read comics.
And yes, we do.
We read different trade paperbacks in particular.
Trade paperbacks, you know, sometimes we'll dice in a hardcover when it's a special.
Or some tasty holiday specials.
Yeah. Yeah, sometimes we even break that format. The fundamental concept of our podcast will even fuck it. We'll fuck that up. So
breaking the standard.
We read trade paperbacks every week, but we also go over some of the news that happened.
Good segue.
Yes, it is. And
Nathan King of segues.
That's me.
Michael Keaton to replace Ben Affleck in the DCEU.
So, yeah, that's like the biggest thing, but it's not like actually confirmed.
Is it, though?
So, I read the headline from Lights, Camera, Pod. They're pretty good.
Oh, yeah?
I get some news from them, right? It's a good podcast. So, I was like, I don't know if that, you know, really makes sense. And so, I looked into it a little bit more. And I went to the New York Times article, and it's published... Or it was written by a dude named Brooks Barnes. And I'm like, he sounds pretty official. And I guess, like, there was... He, like, ended up talking to Walter Hamada, who was, like, the head of DC Films. And he's, like, talking to him and, like, talking about, like, how there's going to be, like, two different Batmans is basically all that was said, which is, like, Pattinson Batman and then Keaton, who's already confirmed to be in The Flash.
Right.
And so he published that, and then I looked at his Twitter, and I guess he was like moving apartments for a while. And so while that was like all like brewing and like different comic like news outlets were publishing things and doing clickbait like articles and stuff, Brooks Barnes tweeted, "Been offline," and then in parentheses, "moving apartments, and returned to see this Michael Keaton craziness. I was referring to the one film that Keaton has announced as being in, not a set of his own Batman films. If I had info on him beyond The Flash, I would have obviously put it in my article."
Hmm.
I mean, he's not saying that he's not, but nothing is confirmed that he's going to be the new Batman, you know?
Okay.
Beyond just this Flash movie that he's going
to be. Because that doesn't make any sense, because he's pushing like 70, and like Ben Affleck's like almost 50.
Right.
So it's like, that's a kind of, it's not like he can just fit in that place.
I figured it would have been some sort of Batman Beyond situation, and so people were like, who's going to be Terry McGinnis and everything?
Because... I guess something was supposed to be slated for 2021 in that universe. I guess The Flash, maybe.
The Flash,
I think. Because, like, they're talking about there's going to be three different Batmans in the same year, like, with Robert Pattinson, Keaton, and then Ben Affleck returning for
Justice League.
So I'm like, huh.
Yeah. I mean, that might still happen.
Yeah, but also it might not.
If Pattinson happens. It's confirmed that, like, Keaton will return as Batman in The Flash movie.
Right.
But it's not confirmed that he's going to continue with that helm.
We just assume it's like a time travel thing?
It's a Flash thing. So, like, yeah, time travel thing or different universes and dimensions thing. Dimension thing. So that's what I assume the extent of it is.
Yeah.
Which you mentioned Zack Snyder, and everybody loves fucking Justice League Snyder Cut news.
Mm-hmm.
Zack Snyder confirms that his cut of Justice League will be his last directing stint in the DCEU for the time being.
It's probably good.
That's a good thing, I think.
Yeah.
Which also leads into another article I found just before I got here. And it was basically just like an interview. And the headline was like, Snyder reveals what Marvel comic adaptation he would do. And I was like, I don't care about that. And so I didn't read it. But then I was like, I'm going to mention it, so maybe I should read it. And... do you know what he would do?
Daredevil.
That's close, actually. It's
Punisher.
Frank Miller thing. Frank Miller Marvel. It's in like the Daredevil book. Who's another character in there?
Luke Cage.
No. I don't think he's actually in the Frank Miller run.
Who's
maybe a girl that was in the Frank Miller Daredevil that was also an assassin, part of the Hand.
Was it
in a red suit?
Was it the nun at the church?
No, it's Elektra. Oh, idiot.
Elektra?
I couldn't have given you more hints.
I know.
So he's like, I would choose Elektra Lives Again. Snyder commented, do you know what Frank Miller comic book? It's a graphic novel about Elektra. Daredevil is having these dreams about Elektra coming back to life, and that's really cool and weird. To that, I also say, who cares? He's probably not going to do a Marvel movie, but...
Probably not.
It's a... I had Snyder related news, so I just took a screenshot of it and I was curious.
Yeah, no, I think that's good. I didn't hate any of the movies except for Justice League. So I thought he was like on a roll for a bit, like building his own thing. I'm like, sure.
What do you mean? He did Batman v Superman. I guess he did Man of Steel, didn't he?
Yeah.
Was that him?
Yeah.
Okay, I like Man of Steel.
Yeah.
And then it's just kind of downhill from there.
Yeah, they don't get better, but like I still like them.
I think Man of Steel is better than Dawn of Justice.
Yeah, it's definitely a more wholesome and or think, like well-rounded movie.
And then Justice League, well, it's kind of hard to tell because the Joss Whedon thing, but...
There's some things in Justice League that I thought were really cool.
Me too.
But overall, I'm like, what the fuck was that?
Yeah.
So
for it being a team movie.
Yeah, definitely underwhelming.
Yeah, exactly.
So we'll see with that Snyder cut. Maybe it'll, you know, be a better...
I just want it to be over, dude. I want to stop hearing about it.
Yeah, I know. We don't have to keep bringing it up, you know.
I know, but it's just, it keeps coming, and I don't know why. Like, if they were, if they're, I feel like when shit like this happens, it's just like they wait and like release a little by little at a time to like keep it relevant.
Dude, the trailer for Justice League came out like a year and a half before the release date.
Yeah.
And that's just kind of how comic book movies are, like, especially when we follow as many like nerdy news outlets as there are. If there's anything, they post about it.
Yeah, because be like, they're like,
be like, this one person might be this one person in this movie that might be confirmed.
This person says, I want to be Moon Knight.
Yeah.
Isn't that cool? And then they just write a whole fucking article about it for ads. Yeah, comic news outlets, I would never do that, because there's so many, like, whenever I'm just like looking for news, like if I only have like two things to say on this, I'll just Google comic news, and a lot of the headlines are just so, like, it just seems like such a grind to have to like put out comic news.
Yeah, because it's not time. Always like news,
because it's like, oh, King in Black just killed one of the most important people yet, and I'm like,
and it's like,
just read the book, you know.
And it's like Iron Fist, you're like, that's not important.
He's very important. That's a bad example. I'm just kidding.
Wait, who'd they kill?
I didn't read the article. I'm going to read the book.
You have read the book?
I have it.
But you haven't read it?
I have not read it.
Okay.
It's only two issues in. So.
I do that with a lot of books.
Yeah. Yeah, me too. Admittedly.
We should start another podcast. It's called like Pull List or something. And we actually
read our books.
We read everything each week and then talk about them.
It's like our own back issues.
Yeah. good
back
idea.
Issues.
Back issues.
Because you have a bad back.
Because I have fucking scoliosis.
We read comics and also complain about our bad backs.
Yeah,
it's called back podcast. Issues.
And then we would fall so far behind on our pull list
because we have to read it. I mean, I feel like there's a lot of reading already, so maybe
this issue, this it'll be like it was four issues.
Yeah, true. But I mean, most of the other things we do are more.
That's
anyway.
True.
Other news: Sony announced the release date of the new Spider-Verse movie, which is October 7th, 2022.
Okay, long time, great.
That's a very long time, yeah.
I honestly don't want to hear about these until they... Like,
I know.
It's like 3 months until it comes out.
Honestly, like they should just do... The way that they should do superhero movies is like iPhone releases. Like,
yeah. Be like, hey, this shit's coming out in like 2 weeks.
Look at all this cool thing. And it was like, oh my God, before they even have like a chance to really speculate on it.
Yeah.
And then they just go and buy it. I feel like it should almost be like that, you know?
That would be kind of cool. But I get it for like marketing purposes. But like when at that Disney thing, they were announcing shit until like 2025. Yeah. I'm like, I don't give a shit.
Can you imagine?
A lot of shit will probably get canceled anyway.
Yeah, true. There's like a lot scrapped. Of there's a lot of announced properties that never make it.
And that shit's like not even exciting to me. I'm like, yeah, they'll probably get to that one.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I'm like, show me a trailer.
Until it
comes out in like June or something.
Trailers are commitment, okay?
Yeah, that means you already have shit. You know? It's
exactly.
Not just ideas.
Exactly.
I bet half of those things don't even have a storyboard.
Can you imagine if Kirkman like got to like direct a movie and...
Dude, he wouldn't tell anybody.
He wouldn't tell anybody. He'd just be like, hey, I made a movie. It's in theaters today.
And then it'd make like nothing. It'd make like $50,000.
It would probably blow up, dude. They're my God, they released a Walking Dead movie.
But like people who follow Robert Kirkman are comic book fans. It's not like Walking Dead TV show fans following
him. I understand, but like just the idea of like someone like Robert, like it has, because people drop like albums and shit just out of the blue and they're like, hey, go watch this or whatever. What if it's like, what if Kirkman gets to do like a streaming movie and then all the like big name people
that might be
in
cool.
there. Are like, hey, I did this and I just released it. You should go watch it. And everybody's like, oh.
If it was maybe like, if it was Robert Kirkman, if like they announced like a Rick Grimes movie.
I think they did.
Yeah. So if they just drop that out of nowhere, that might do okay.
I think
it's just not the business.
It's going to happen at some point. There's just going to be a movie release and be like, oh yeah, I made this.
It happens on Netflix all the time. When I log on to Netflix, I'm like, oh, I've never seen this.
Yeah. Other Marvel related things. WandaVision will have a 2-episode premiere.
Dope.
Which I didn't know.
Like that. When is that?
January 15th.
That's next week. Is that Friday?
That is
Friday.
Friday, yeah. So we could even do a book based on that.
Ooh.
Kind of. We won't have seen the show yet. But.
Ooh. Wait, so. Oh, so do you want to like be able to watch the premiere and then also review a book on it? Like, so do that book on like the 20th?
Is that smarter, or should we do, here's like kind of what we think this is? We should probably watch
we should watch it. So, all right, on the 20th, we should do just the fucking Vision.
Maybe, yeah. Well, because like we don't know like if it's more based on Vision or if it's more based off of like a Scarlet Witch book.
It's probably halfsies.
It's probably about halfsies.
So do you want to just do a Scarlet Witch book this week then?
Maybe. We'll talk about it. We'll figure it out. It's not that segment yet.
Well, we could also do a Scarlet Witch one like the following week because the show will still be coming out.
This is true. This is true. Other news. What else is here? Comic news. DC Future State has started and they released a whole checklist. If you aren't good at keeping up with everything, you can find that somewhere and I find it to be very helpful. It's a 1-page thing and you can screenshot it. But the ones that came out today are Next Batman, The Flash, Harley Quinn, Superman of Metropolis, Swamp Thing, and Wonder Woman. So I just think it's cool that they released like a checklist.
And they always do that.
Do they?
Yeah.
What do you mean? For solicitation? Or like...
Oh, they're always like
whole events.
There's always like a page like in the book, like on the back. Be like, make sure you get the rest of this shit that
kind
of relates.
They kind of like release this so that you can kind of see.
But is there like a Future State like main title book? Or Future Quest? What is it called?
Future Quest?
Yeah.
No. I don't think so.
Okay, so it's all these.
But apparently, this is like. Apparently, Future State is the product of somebody getting fired at like DC head editorial, and they're able to like kind of spread their wings out a little bit and do more creative looking things. And the books look really good. I don't know if you've seen any like previews of them. I picked up the Batman one, and then I also picked up the Wonder Woman one because that's going to be by Joel Jones. But I saw like a preview of the Harley Quinn one, and that looked really good. Like, it seems like hopefully this will be like a fresh DC thing for like a little bit for like the next 3 months.
I'd have to look at who's writing it, but I might pick up like Batman just cause.
John Ridley, he's like the movie writer.
Oh, okay.
For 12 Years a Slave.
Right, right. Okay. What about who's writing Swamp Thing?
I don't know who's writing Swamp Thing.
Okay. I just don't know what future is he got gonna be like a tech Swamp Thing or something.
Who knows? Pick it up, figure it out.
Who knows?
Right. So there's that for news, and then I had one more thing. Probably the most exciting news you've ever heard, Daniel.
I've ever heard?
Yes.
We're getting $2,000 just because.
No.
All right.
Because they fucked that up. Gail Simone and Travelers Insurance partnered together for a distracted driving comic. So, Gail Simone, who's written a number of important comic books, as this article says. They don't name any of them, but they're like, she's important.
No, she has.
Yeah, she has. I'm agreeing, but they don't name any here, which I think is kind of funny. She partners with Travelers Insurance to come together to produce what's called The Unfinished Story, which tells the story of Z-Hawk, which is like a Batman-esque character. And it's supposed to inform kids or people or something about distracted driving. So isn't that cool?
Very cool.
It's just so
wild. Dude, I've never seen a kid like in a comic shop. They're normally like
I have.
Adults.
Mostly adults.
Yeah, so I'm like, who's this for?
But there's kids' comics that are like popular.
Yeah, I mean, I've seen kids in comic shops on free comic book day because it's free comic book day.
And yeah, they just go just get and
grab
shit.
Some free shit. But like, other than that, I'm like, who is there someone publishing it? Or like,
kids aren't going to just drive themselves there. They probably have their parents pick them up, if anything. You know?
That's true. I mean, I do go on like, you know, like Wednesdays and stuff.
Yeah.
So they got school and shit.
But there's plenty of kids' books out there. So, and also kids can just read on their tablets now. They love being on their tablet.
Yeah, it's true.
Yeah. So anyway, that's all the news I had. Do you have anything else?
No.
Nice.
Just the fake Batman news.
Yep, fake Batman news that was debunked. I'm an official reporter. I looked into it.
Yeah.
So we'll just go into the book for this week. And what did we read, Daniel?
We read Deadpool versus Thanos.
Yes, we did.
And I apologize for this. I forgot like what it was like.
I was wondering, like, you seemed really excited about this.
Because, like, I think the concept is funnier than the book.
It kind of is.
I think this is written, like, as well as it possibly could have. Like, the plot is probably the only thing that'd bring these two characters together.
It's a great concept.
Right. But
I liked it, actually.
So. Yeah, like, I liked it. But, like, thinking back, I'm like, I really thought more highly of this.
There were some, like, good jokes in there that I wrote down that I think, like, could only be made in this exact context of, like, Deadpool and Thanos being together.
Which is what you want.
Which is what I want, yeah. Like, the fact that, like, Tim Seeley's writer would, like, think of a couple things like that.
Uh-huh.
It's just, I could never.
I definitely didn't laugh out loud, like I have in some books before.
Yeah.
But it's still a good time, I think.
I smirked to a couple of them.
I was just like, I just nodded silently. Like, no, nice. Smirk. Like, mm-hmm, I get it.
Yep. That's a joke. Yep.
Like, I think that works.
Yeah. So this is a book by Tim Seeley, who wrote it. Elmo Bondoc, I think is how you pronounce
it. Is it Elmo?
Yeah.
That's cool.
Elmo. Bondoc, who did the art. He's not, I think that's what they say, that he does the art. Ruth Redmond did the colors, and Joe Sabino did the letters. With main covers by the great Trad Moore. I love his stuff. We should read one of his books, actually. That's a 2020 trade we could do.
Jesus Christ, what?
Dude, that's...
I was looking at my book and you just slapped the table.
Yeah. That's a 2020 trade we can do. Silver Surfer Black.
Okay.
It's so good.
Okay.
Anyway, so this is essentially... The concept of Deadpool versus Thanos is that Death is gone. We don't know where she went. And
the embodiment of Death. Which is like a Grim Reaper.
Mistress Death.
Mistress Death.
She's gone, and which causes nobody in reality to die officially. And the two people that are hot for Mistress Death are Deadpool and Thanos. And so it's not really like a versus book. They kind of like come together, and then they fight for a bit, and then they're like, let's pair up. And then they go on an adventure, and then they fight for a bit at the end.
They're kind of all like that. I've read majority of these. Yeah.
Like, because... I don't know which other ones.
It's not like it's four books of them just fighting back and forth.
That's what I want, Daniel.
Yeah, me too, but like we don't get that.
Yeah, true.
He doesn't have the Infinity Gauntlet, so it's just punching.
But they're like they're boys for a little bit, you know?
Yeah, well, it's kind of like that buddy cop thing where one's like the smart one actually trying to get shit done and the other one's just fucking around.
The other one's just Deadpool?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yep, okay, I get that. But yeah, we'll just jump right into it, so... there's a cold open on Thanos beating up Deadpool to, like, essentially, like, a bloody pulp with, you know, there's some banter there to kind of set the stage. It's definitely not, like, a serious book, as you might expect with the Deadpool book.
Mm-hmm.
But it's also kind of established that Thanos gave Deadpool his eternal life, which I don't know if that's, like, canon.
Probably not. Because they mentioned multiple times that this is before Marvel Now. Because this came out like during Marvel Now.
Okay.
So I think there might have been new canon for that. But it makes sense because in Infinity Gauntlet, Thanos, like, you know, kills half of everything in order to impress like Mistress Death or whatever.
I don't think that's canon either. I thought that was just a movie thing, but I'm gonna look it up. But anyway, keep going.
No, it wasn't like a movie thing. It was like in Infinity War.
I've read that
book, Infinity Gauntlet. I've read it too. Because she's in that book, isn't she?
Death?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, I think so he's trying to impress her. And then because like Deadpool like dies so often, but then just ends up coming back because of his healing factor, he like sees Death often. And so that's why there's like a love interest there.
Yeah.
And so Thanos is not like a punishment, but to get him to stop was to grant him like eternal life. So he just never dies.
Right. Yeah. So that's how they have this relation with Death. But like if Thanos gives Deadpool his like immortal life, does that not make him a mutant now because he wasn't given his like powers at birth?
I think you're thinking too deeply.
I'm not. He's a mutant, you know.
Yeah, he's a mutant, but like it just means he can't die.
So are you saying that like Deadpool's mutant power is
still
is like agility and stuff, but Thanos made him immortal?
Yeah. With
his healing factor?
Not with his healing factor. Thanos just kind of granted him immortality.
But his healing factor already does that.
But I think the way I understand it is like his head can like blow off.
Yeah.
Right? And he'll be dead for like a second. But his healing factor will regrow his head. You know what I mean?
And turn him back to life?
Yeah. So he doesn't actually die because he comes back. And so because of this, I guess that makes it to where... He cannot die,
At all? Like,
at all.
Even, like, momentarily?
Yeah.
Okay. I don't know if I...
And I think that's what I got from it. I could be wrong.
I mean, that's a better explanation than what I can make in my head.
Okay.
Yeah, I couldn't quite put that together.
Because that's how the relationship between Mrs. Death and Deadpool was made.
When he's, like, dead?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah. Because there's a couple parts in this book where he's in, like, this place called, like, A Place Between Life and Death. So he's not, like, actually dead. He's just kind of in, like, a limbo.
It's like a purgatory.
So do you... Okay. So then maybe, like, Thanos...
And it's...
Thanos curses him to, like, never go to death so that he can't ever talk to Mistress Death?
Yeah.
Okay. I'm cool with that.
That's what I got.
I agree with you. We solved it.
Cool. Good job.
All right.
That's what we're here for.
So, anyway, that's kind of established that Thanos gave him this, like, immortality. And then so... Anyway, it's all beaten up. And then we cut to the day before where Deadpool... makes it to St. Cynthia Island, where Dr. Doom lives, and Deadpool, like, seemingly kills Doom with a shotgun to the chest, but to Deadpool's surprise, Doom gets up and then zaps him into the ocean where he, like, drowns. So, clearly, he was supposed to be pretty dead. He's got, like, a whole shell in his chest, and he's all bloody and shit.
Mm-hmm.
But he's still alive. I do like this scene, because after he kills him, he, like, calls Tony Stark, and he's, like, kind of bragging about killing Doom.
Yeah,
and then he mentions the Doom movie, which I'm a big fan of. Ironically, yeah,
he's like Doom D-O-O with Rock Johnson.
Yeah, with starring The Rock. Yeah, that guy. I liked that. I thought that was cute. But anyway, he gets shocked into the ocean, and he goes into this place that is between life and death, and there he's able to see Mistress Death, which, you know, the environment that he's in is kind of just like a motel.
Yeah, and he's got an afro and a robe on and a mustache, a 70s porn mustache.
Yeah, so it looks like he's about to star in, like, a porn, basically. But he sees Mistress Death in, like, the mirror, and then she, like, randomly disappears after, like, saying, like,
she's like, wait, please.
Yeah, she seems like she's in distress a little bit, and so it kind of lets us know that something's up, which brings us to later, where the world is in, like, a state of undying, so no one fully dies, really, for any reason.
And then, like, I guess some people that are dead come back to life, it seems like.
I didn't catch that necessarily.
Okay.
But...
maybe I was wrong.
So, you know, he goes back to Black Talon, where, you know, they kind of come to the conclusion that Thanos probably had something to do with this, because he's also into Mistress Death, and they devise a plan to, like, go get him. So... in that scene where he's between life and death, I like how he says, there's just, like, a small throwaway line, but he's like, I'm going to change into something a little bit more naked. And I think that's a good joke.
Yeah, that's a good one.
That made me chuckle. And, Black Talon is a prominent character in this, and he looks ridiculous. He looks like just a big rooster. So,
do you know this guy?
Yeah, I looked him up.
Okay.
And so
I did too. I'm like, this is a real character?
He looks a lot cooler normally, but in this comic he looks kind of ridiculous and looks like a big rooster.
Yeah.
But
a man in a big rooster costume.
He's a Jack Kirby creation with Jerry Conway. So he's basically like a voodoo priest with supernatural abilities. And his power is the ability to create and telepathically control zombies. And so, like, his theme as, like, a character is revolved around death. So it kind of makes sense how he's kind of weaved into the story.
Right.
So, anyway, Deadpool goes to see him, and they're like, we should find Thanos. So it jumps back to now, where Deadpool's, like, again, getting, like, his shit pushed in by Thanos. We can kind of tell that Thanos doesn't really have he, like, doesn't know where Mistress Death is either. But when Deadpool goes into another place between life and death, he talks to Death again. And she says that the light is dwindling, and he's the only one that can save her and return balance to the universe. So we're essentially now in a situation where both Death and Thanos don't really know what's going on. So,
mm-hmm.
But I really like the between life and death kind of storytelling mechanic. And it's just like Death kind of feeding him, like, a little bit of information before she has to, like, go away again.
Yeah, she, like, fades away for some reason.
Yeah,
It's kind of cool. Mm-hmm. It's like the only way for them to get, like, hints.
Yeah,
like, where she's at.
Yeah, and I like this Thanos design. Like, his costume is, like, pretty normal, like, status quo for Thanos, but I just like that we never, like, see his eyes, because they're always, like, shaded. And I also noticed that his chin comes out a little bit more, which I feel like really works.
Yeah, you gotta Got to be very aggressive with the chin.
Yeah. It, you know, it pops out. It's not just like flat like the Brolin Thanos.
Right.
And I always like when you like can't see the eyes, but there's always just like a white circle that's like either red or white. Makes it seem like a little bit more sinister.
Very scary.
Yeah. That's, you know, that's the main stuff. There's a little bit more of like plot building. Like Black Talon is on his island and he gets visited by this dude called the Abyss Man, which I'll explain later. And then we also see the Guardians of the Galaxy are also trying to find Thanos. And then...
because they just assume like everyone not dying is he's behind.
Like so. He seems like the the only person that could accomplish something like that. So they want to find him.
Right.
And then also Thanos decides to keep Deadpool alive because he, for whatever reason, is the only one that's able to make contact with death. So he recruits Deadpool to help find their mutual lover.
Yeah.
And so you're reading this in single issues.
Yep. I bought this when it came out.
That makes sense.
And I kept buying it.
So you don't know what the back matter is.
Yeah, dude, I had no back matter. I just have ads.
What ads were in there?
Dude, there's one.
What's in that first comic ad?
On the back, we got a Creative Cloud from Adobe. Nice. I saw one for Dr. Pepper in Avengers nice. Age of Ultron. There was
wow.
Yeah, I know. There was one for like a Comic-Con that was somewhere.
Dude, I miss Comic-Con. Back in
2015, New York Super Week.
Super Week,
is
huh?
what they call it, I guess.
Nice.
Is
that
we got Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Nice. Ad.
Look at these old...
oh, previews for
other
Amazing comics. Spider-Man number one.
Dan Slott. We got Contest of Champions, Doctor Strange by Jason Aaron.
Oh, yeah, Jason Aaron, Doctor Strange.
New Avengers, Marvel Point One. That looks kind of cool. Avengers, Captain America. That was like when Falcon first got like the shield
From
Captain America. Ant-Man, Angela, Queen of Hell. That wow. seems fun.
Contest of Champions keeps going for whatever reason.
The Guardians of the Galaxy Disney XD show.
Wow.
We're going through all these.
Yeah. We're not even being sponsored
Miracle
by
Man by Neil Gaiman. You remember that?
Oh, shit. I do remember that.
I thought that was way longer ago, but...
Iron Man, Invincible Iron Man by Bendis?
Right. And wow. then these little...
Oh,
like,
you got the comic code.
The little comic codes you can scratch off.
You got to redeem that.
Or you can... Yeah, I know. To get my free digital version.
I think it actually like that takes down the value of a comic if you actually take it off.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Which is kind of bullshit.
Secret Wars?
Oh, gosh.
And then Munchkin.
Dude, what the hell even are Munchkins?
It's a Boom Studios thing.
I'm not interested then.
It's a comic.
Is it?
Boom Box. I think it's like isn't that the kids one?
I think that's like a thing that you can buy, like Munchkins. But anyway, it's not important.
Ads are fun. Definitely keeps the book moving.
Keeps the flow.
Yeah, it's like, oh, I only have to read one page. Flip.
Yeah. So, issue two. Thanos is like recording like a voice message or something, or like a journal thing to Mistress Death. And he essentially explains that nothing dies across all of reality, which includes like viruses and like animals that are prey in nature don't die, which like affects all ecosystems.
Right.
Or even beings in space, like that are just like stuck in space after like a planet explodes, are like still living and like frozen.
Right.
And the beings that they show are kind of like foreshadowing something that happens a little bit later. So they're important to take note, which I thought was cool. But then in talking with Deadpool, Thanos thinks that the dwindling light that was mentioned is like a reference to a platinum mine that was abandoned after the Annihilation Wave. So
what's the Annihilation Wave? Do you know?
That's like a big cosmic event that happened in Marvel.
Annihilation?
Annihilation. Well, I think it's just called Annihilation Wave. But Annihilus is the big bad in that story.
Isn't there an event called Annihilation? Or like a trade?
It might be called... I think there might also be one called Annihilation.
Huh.
But the Annihilation Wave is like the original one. It was written by like those... who are the Guardians of the Galaxy people? The ones that did like the more modern one? Dude.
I'm not the guy.
I
know what it looks like.
You know them.
I've read it, but I don't know. Once you say it, I'd be like, yeah, them.
I know you will. I looked up Guardians of the Galaxy writer, and it came up with James Gunn, so give me one second.
Stupid.
It's like...
Dan Abnett and Andy Lanning.
Yeah, that's the one.
I know it as like Abnett and Lanning.
Yeah, Abnett and Lanning. That's yeah, that's what I was trying to.
That's a good fucking trade.
The Guardians one?
Yeah, or that whole run is really sick.
Yeah, I think they were the ones behind Annihilation Wave. Actually, I'm going to look that up now because I might be done.
Perhaps. Annihilation's hard to spell. There's an H in there.
Just kidding. I think it might have been Keith Giffen.
Oh, there's two omnibuses.
Yeah, it's like a big boy. It's like a big cosmic event.
Omnibi.
But I'm pretty sure it's like pretty centered around Nova as well.
Dan Abnett and Keith Giffen, so you weren't wrong.
Okay, so, all right.
Andy Lanning as well, yeah.
Oh, fuck yeah. All right, I was right. Okay, good. Yeah, it's like a really big like cosmic event, I guess. And I tried reading it, but when I like downloaded the hardcover of it, it also included like, it started with spinoffs. Like it started with like preludes, and I was like reading a Drax book and it wasn't very good. And I just like stopped.
Yeah. This is Drax the Destroyer, Annihilation Prologue, Annihilation Nova.
Yeah.
So the book one.
So I was excited for Nova, but I was like, I have to read this Drax shit because I was just, I didn't understand how comics worked back then. And so I was like, I have to read the stupid Drax story. And then I just like fell off of it.
It looks like they're just all like spinoffs. And then that's how you read the book?
No, I think there might, I don't know.
There is one. It's like 1-6. So
I think there's omnibus, just like a lot of prelude.
That omnibus shows like all of it. And they're like, hey, you have to read all of this, no matter if it makes sense or not.
Yeah. Which, I mean, it was like a big event. That was when Marvel was like, everything and everybody's affected by this. It's a big thing. So, anyway, they're at this dwindling light as a result of Annihilation Wave. Should we read Annihilation Wave, maybe? Just like the main event? Sure. At some point?
Yeah, I think that'd be fun. I think we'd have to burn through a lot of other books in order to feel interested in this.
Yeah. Yeah, true. But we'll do it at some point. But anyway, while Deadpool and Thanos are there, Thanos says that he cursed Deadpool with immortality because he knows that Deadpool hates himself more than anyone else does. And so he cursed him with no escape from himself. This is the way that he puts it.
Yeah, and so like the couple of minutes he dies, I guess, is like...
he's still like sentient?
He like escapes from himself, I guess.
Yeah.
So. And I'm so, like, that's kind of dark, but okay.
It is dark, and I'm like, that seems like, you know... Maybe you could, you know, do something else that's more effective. But
I mean, I think they're trying to make it as if like Thanos is real mean.
Yeah, he's like, I know you hate yourself, so I'm just gonna make you stuck with yourself.
He's like, shit. All right,
it's a little bit more. It's a bit more fresh for him. I feel like
does Thanos do need a space suit?
No,
he's got one.
No, he mentions that he doesn't need it to Deadpool, but he's like, I don't care. So he's in like a little astronaut looking fishbowl suit.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. So while searching in this like platinum mine, they're attacked by a group that's called the Order of the Glorious End, which is a cult of like random beings in the galaxy, which is like a bunny looking dude. There's like a Beta Ray Bill looking chick. And then there's like a couple more. But they're just like essentially they worship death, and the snap that killed half of like the galaxy or the universe, they weren't a part of that, and they want to die themselves, but now they're in a situation where they can't die at all, kind of. And so
right,
they all fight, and they leave, and Thanos wants to find like where to go next, like after they sort it all out. And so he starts beating up Deadpool again to make him go into like the place between life and death. And that's when like the Guardians of the Galaxy show up to try and figure out what Thanos did. But Deadpool wakes up from being dead again, and then they both leave while the Guardians fight the death cult. That's kind of just what happened. I like the idea of the death cult. They're just like people that want to die, or like they respect death so much.
And never then, related to anyone in comics before.
Yeah, yeah, honestly. And at one point in that sort of altercation with like the death cult, Deadpool makes like a Marvel joke, which I thought was pretty good, where he says, come on, someone has to die for real. What is this, a Marvel comic?
Right.
I mean, that's a good one. That's a good one. No one ever dies.
I got him.
Yeah, that's good. That's good fourth wall break.
Yep.
So classic stuff. But, you know, Deadpool and Thanos escape. And while they're in his ship, Deadpool is about to like is about to tell Thanos like the next place that they should go when Abyss Man shows up and tries to burn like Deadpool to ash. But Thanos comes in to like defend him and shoots like his eye lasers that I guess he has.
Yeah. He also, his hands glowed up when they're fighting in the next issue, well,
like,
I think.
They shoot like cosmic beams, and I think that's kind of more status quo, but I've never seen him like shoot shit out of his eyes.
Yeah. Very, very Darkseid-y.
No, Darkseid-y has like beams and then they go in like random angles and stuff.
Still shit coming out of your eyes. Sharp.
That's true. Yeah. But, yeah, so he shoots lasers out of his eyes out of nowhere, and that like
shoots him out of like the ship, and I guess the ship repairs itself.
I guess so, which is a pretty cool ship.
And then since Deadpool was on fire, like the vacuum of space like
also puts him out.
Puts him out. Good word.
And then he is like telling Thanos, like, I needed to talk to that guy actually. Like, we needed to go find Abyss Man because I actually put him in hell. And Deadpool is the one that sent him there. And so that was kind of like the cliffhanger, I guess, of that issue. But who is Abyss Man, you ask?
Who's Abyss Man?
It's kind of hard to tell. He's like confusing, but I'm pretty sure he's basically Ajax from like the first Deadpool movie.
He made it seem like it was like,
but he's like cosmic now.
A replacement one almost?
I'm not sure. I looked it up and I couldn't even tell. But I think he's like basically Ajax.
A-Man, the attending Ajax. Okay, so yeah, it is.
He calls
Ajax.
Him Francis. Remember, like, that was
the
joke?
Oh, yeah, yeah. So, and he says
but
that.
But now he's turned cosmic, and I don't know why, and I didn't want to look into it. But it's still canon that he doesn't, like, feel pain anymore. But I guess in this story, he's just the one that's, like, linked to Deadpool and has died at some point. So that's, like, the main link there.
Okay. I wish it would just been Ajax and be like, oh, look at him.
I wish there was like an editorial note for both of these characters. Just like, here's who this fucking guy is, you know?
Yeah, because I'm like, who the fuck is that?
Yeah. So, going to the next issue, there's a little bit of a flashback of Deadpool and Abyss Man, kind of showing that they have like a previous relationship, but it's only one page and doesn't really cover a whole lot, and I don't know what it really brings to the story, to be completely honest.
It's just background, I think.
Yeah, but Deadpool wakes up after finally recovering from Ajax's attack to find that Thanos, you know, captured him, Ajax, from space and is trying to torture him to get info out of him. And Thanos and Deadpool also have kind of a moment there because Thanos found out that from Ajax that Deadpool is not supposed to survive the experiments that made him the way that he is. So Thanos kind of respects him, which is a little nice.
Mm-hmm. And what's funny is like, he's trying to torture him to get answers from him, but he's, like, legit from hell. So, yeah. Like, what are you supposed to do?
Yeah, also, he doesn't feel anything. Like, he doesn't feel, like, a whole lot of pain. He seems like he's in pain here, but, mm-hmm. like, that's, like, part of his character. Yeah, he's from hell, so what are you really going to do?
Right.
Thanos finds out that Abyss Man is taking orders from Mephisto, so they need to, like, go to hell in order to talk to him to try and figure this shit out. And mm-hmm. so they enlist the help of an occultist, which in this case is Black Talon from earlier. So this kind of feels like a Mandalorian season.
why? Like, oh, I need to go here and help like, to get there.
Yeah, I need to go to Thanos to figure out what's going on. And then it's like, well, I'm not the problem. And so they're like, I need to go to the Dying Light. And it's like, well, that shit's not here. And it's like, oh, now we need to go to Abyss Man.
Yeah, because if they just knew the answer, this book would be one issue.
Yeah, and now they're like, oh, we need to talk to Mephisto because, you know, death and people, whatever. So...
is it pronounced Mephisto?
Mephisto.
Okay. You said like May, like very distinctively. And so I just thought it was Mephisto.
I don't know. It's probably going to be one of those things where he's in like a Marvel movie at some point and they just pronounce it way different.
They're like Mephisto.
Mephisto. Or something like that.
Mephista.
Yeah. They partner up with Black Talon and essentially he helps use Abyss Man's body to create a portal into hell. And when they land in hell, Deadpool thinks that he's seen death, or that he sees death because he, like, lands on somebody that's skeleton. And then he, like, makes out with her. But it's actually, like, the dude with, like, the boat that's in, like, most hell stories.
Yeah.
Which, that was a pretty funny part because he's like, oh my god, it's death. And then he, like, makes out with her. But, like, in the panel where he's making out with her, he's, like, licking her face.
He's, like, licking her teeth.
Yeah. He's like, I've been saving up so much tongue for you. And he's, like, licking him. So I thought that was charming. They also find out that there's like a war in hell that's happening across, like, all living souls confined to this hell.
Yeah, because I guess if you go to hell, you can't get out just because of this thing. And so they're just, like, salty about it. Because, remember when I said, like, I thought some people were coming back from the dead. Or they said recently revived.
Huh. Yeah, they did mention that, but I didn't really know what that, like, meant.
So it's, like, if you're, like, coding on a table, you, like, come back. Basically.
Oh.
And so I think that's what they meant.
Maybe you haven't been, like, initiated into hell or something?
Not actually dead, yeah. Okay. And so, not called, like, dead.
Yeah.
So I guess, like, the people in hell are real salty about it, and they want to be alive, but they can't.
Yeah. And so that, like, creates a war, I guess.
It's pretty cool, though.
I like this hell because it includes, like, every living thing, you know? Like, it's, like, it includes, like, scrolls, and it includes, like, Asgardians and shit.
Yeah, all of the people that die
are in this hell. It's not like a people hell. It's like everything hell.
So do you think this is like an earth hell? Or just a hell that's like...
It's like... I think the idea is it's like it's hell for everything.
Okay, so it's not necessarily like... It's like a different kind of dimension almost at that point.
Basically.
Right, okay.
So like because there's scrolls and there's like dragons and shit that are in here, like it's all things that I guess have done bad.
Mm-hmm.
So, but... Kind of a cool mechanic in this is that everybody that's in this hell can sense when the living are there, especially when the living that are there sense the people in hell there. They like know.
Yeah, they're more. Like Deadpool, Thanos.
Yeah, which between blah, blah, blah. Both Deadpool and Thanos, quite like a especially few people. Especially Thanos, that's like a lot of people.
Pretty big club.
And so they know that they're there now.
There's no one that we recognize, just random people, and then there's like a scroll in there.
I feel like there are like
people Thanos' in here. Mom is there.
Yeah, Thanos' mom is there, and Deadpool just slices her head off just randomly.
Yeah.
I kind of like, you know, I'm never really excited in, like, a Marvel book when they go to hell, because I don't think that, like, Mephisto's, like, super interesting, but I do like this. I do kind of like this take on hell.
Why?
Because of all the different people that are there. And okay. Not just, like, it's not just, like, people turn into demons, you know?
Yeah.
I feel like this is a little bit more interesting to just, like, think about in general, like, how big this place would be.
Right.
So, pretty good. But anyway, they get into a fight with a bunch of their old foes, including Thanos' mom. Deadpool slices her head off. And then Mephisto comes and welcomes his guests. And then kind of brings them to, like, a separate place to just talk. And Thanos thinks that Mephisto took death in, like, a weird plot against Thanos. But Mephisto convinces him that this, like, isn't an ideal situation for him either, because... Without more damned souls, he becomes weak, and then, like, hell just breaks out into war like it already has. So
right.
It's, like, it's not a good situation for him either. As they're figuring that out, there's, like, a weird thing that comes out of Black Talon that is, like, I guess Mephisto's son. But the only purpose that thing serves is that it, like, kills Deadpool momentarily. And Deadpool, when he comes back, he, like, had this vision of death. And he sees that she is trapped outside of... like the being that is like eternity. And so
right.
He asks Mephisto to like send them there. And that's like the big reveal of this issue. So do you know who eternity is?
Yeah. It's like a celestial.
Right. No,
no. It's like, so eternity is like the embodiment of everything that there is.
Yeah.
And so it's like the shape of like a dude, and then on the inside of it is like space and shit.
Yeah.
And then outside of that is just like white, so like a blank mm-hmm. plane or whatever.
He plays a big part in like Infinity Gauntlet, or not Infinity Gauntlet, but in
I think he does
Thanos Quest.
Oh, okay.
He's a big part of that.
And then like death is just in like a bone cage.
Yeah, just like a bird cage looking thing.
Yeah.
But yeah, he's eternity is like the idea is that he's a cosmos.
Okay.
Celestials are like the big like basically Galactus looking dudes.
Oh, okay.
And cosmos are like more abstract entities that make up like the cosmic everything of the Marvel universe.
Like the in-betweener?
Yeah.
Is he in between all things or something?
No, he's like in between like chaos and order.
Oh, okay.
And which are also two other entities. But Eternity himself is the composition of everything that ever is in reality.
Mm-hmm.
And so, like, there's nothing outside of him, which makes everything just white because no one's ever been there and there's nothing else there. But he strives to create, and, like, he has a counterpoint, which is death, Mistress Death, and entropy is, like, another counterpart.
Okay.
So, very cosmic things. I'm pretty sure that was all, like, Kirby that made that shit up.
Did you
so.
Think that this book would go here?
No. I did not. But all of a sudden, like, this whole issue is just outside of everything. And so, like, a lot of the backgrounds are just white, yeah. Which I'm sure was, like, super nice for Elmo.
For sure.
Which, you know, it kind of makes sense at the same time because the third issue had, like, a lot of detail with hell and there's, like, fire everywhere and people fighting and things like that. So
right.
I wonder if it was kind of nice to, like, take a break from that to do, like, this fourth issue.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But, you know, in this, they're outside of Eternity. And Eternity is, like, talking to Death and reveals, like, his motivation behind trapping Death is because so much inside of him has died. And after, like, the snap especially and, like, other, like, normal, like, Marvel events, like the Annihilation Wave he mentions,
mm-hmm.
and just shit like that, he's just kind of had enough. And so he, like, trapped Mistress Death and just took her out, I guess.
Right.
And so another Celestial... or not another Cosmos entity called the Inbetweener shows up to talk to Eternity about his actions when Thanos, Deadpool, and Black Talon get poofed in there by Mephisto. So, like, they're there now. And Thanos tries to get Death out of that cage that she's in while Eternity is, like, talking. But Death is, like, immediately distracted by Deadpool, who, like, runs in and kisses her instead. You know, Thanos kind of turns all incel, I guess, and punches the cage open, getting the attention of Eternity. So, Thanos got curved, dude.
Yeah, I know.
He went all this way, and then Death was just, like, a bad bitch and was like, I want Deadpool.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And I like how, like, they could have gotten away with this if they were just quieter.
Yeah.
I'm like, how does that work?
It could. Yeah, I know.
Doesn't, like, you're probably, like, 50 feet away from Eternity.
Right.
And I'm like...
And he's, like, super big and shit, too, but I guess Eternity isn't used to having other things outside of himself.
Then you definitely notice... other things you
I
think. Mean
I don't know how sound travels outside of everything. You know,
fair.
So I can kind of just suspend my disbelief to make that work.
What does he do all day?
Who? Eternity?
Yeah,
just kind of, like, makes things inside of himself.
Oh, okay.
He just kind of diddles himself a bit and makes, like, stars and planets and shit.
Ah,
so yeah, so Thanos was a bit of a simp this whole time just to get down bad.
Mm-hmm. She belongs in the streets.
Yep. So anyway, Death turns, like, so yeah, it gets the attention of Eternity after Thanos turns into, like, an incel for a little bit, and then Death turns her two loves, which is Deadpool and Thanos, into, like, her avatars. So kind of like a Galactus and Silver Surfer kind of thing. Death turns both of them into, like, the Death avatars and gives them, like, death powers. I don't know. It's not super. It's
I thought, not I thought they were, like, zombies or something.
I think, but they can still, like, heralds of this entity that she can, like, bestow upon whatever she loves, I guess.
Okay. Yeah.
And so that allows them to, like, fight Eternity now. And so Thanos talks about why he hates life in general because
real quick, how did you read this in your head, like, the last word bubble of this panel?
So okay, yeah. So. Once they turn into, like, their avatars, Deadpool's trying to come up with a name for them, and he wants to call themselves Deathpool, and it's, like, a mix between Death and Thanos. I think it's, like, Dethanos.
They share the TH? Yeah, I think it's...
Dethanos?
Or Dethanos?
Dethanos.
I think Dethanos is better.
Yeah.
But so I was like...
They're Deathpool and Dethanos right now.
I definitely went over that a couple times in my head.
Yeah, I think I did too. I stopped and I was like, Dethanos? Deathanos?
Yeah.
It's pretty clever.
Pretty good.
I guess. Enough.
And Deadpool's not very different than Deathpool, so.
Yeah, that one was easy. The more impressive one was the Thanos name.
Yeah.
So anyway, Thanos is, like, talking to Eternity about how he hates his life because his family hates him or whatever. And he's able to land, like, a pretty good punch on Eternity, which knocks Eternity out. Now Thanos is, like, all power hungry. And when Deadpool tries to talk him down... to, like, just kind of take it as a win and not go further. Like, he doesn't want all of reality to, like, collapse or die. So he kind of, like, takes a good guy stance. But, you know, Thanos just punches him, and then Death takes away Deadpool's like death powers, which returns him back to like normal Deadpool. And then Deadpool thinks that that was like Death's plan all along, almost.
Mm-hmm.
Like, Death doesn't say anything like during this whole time. She doesn't really like talk, but the fact that Death took Deadpool's powers away makes him think that she wanted like Thanos and Deadpool to find her so that she can make their avatars and then kill Eternity, essentially killing everything.
Right.
And so Deadpool is like a little taken back by it. But
I like the bit where like Deadpool punches Eternity and he's like, I could feel planets and stars explode in my hand.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh, wow. I guess so.
I really like the line. Like, this is one that actually made me laugh, where they're both kind of punching Eternity. Eternity says, I can control the fire of infinite stars. And Deadpool's like, oh, yeah? Well, sometimes I watch Dancing with the Stars.
Yeah, that's a pretty good
one. And that one actually made me laugh because, like, there's no other context where that joke would make sense in Marvel Comics.
Right.
Other than if, like, a death avatar of Deadpool was punching literally all of Eternity.
Right.
So that was a good joke.
Pretty good.
But anyway, so Deadpool, you know, realizes that he has to try and save Eternity now. And, you know, even though no one's going to pay him for it. And he goes to attack Thanos. And he basically throws Deadpool back into Eternity, which I'm sure was pretty trippy.
Yeah, I was like, ugh.
Yeah. And so now he's kind of just, like, choking in space. And, you know, Thanos is like, you're going to suffer with the rest, kind of. And it's here in space with, like, the other undying beings that we saw before of, like, the destroyed planet that he meets this thing called the Unipower, which is basically, you know, it basically gives him cosmic powers and turns him into Unipool. But Unipower was, like, taking over one of those, like, dead aliens from before. And it was like, I need a better host.
Oh, I thought that was the shape of the Unipower. I'm like, okay. No,
Unipower was taking over one of those aliens. But
okay.
I like the line there also where he says, like,
are you worthy and responsible? And he's like, absolutely not.
He was like, oh, well, I guess beggars can't be choosers.
Yeah.
So now he becomes the Unipool, which basically gives him like cosmic powers and everything. And he has like, I think this is like the same power that took over like Spider-Man at one point.
Yeah.
It looks similar to a Spider-Man suit.
Yeah, it's pretty dope.
Yeah. Like, it's pretty good design.
What do they call him? Like, Infinity Spider?
Cosmic Spider.
Cosmic Spider. You got it.
I think that's just, it's not a very clever name. I like Unipool better.
Yeah, it's way better.
So, yeah, there's like a cosmic fight that happens between Unipool and Thanos, where Deadpool kind of gives Thanos the realization that since Deadpool himself is like crazy, unpredictable, and like an erratic contradiction, he's basically life itself, which is everything that Thanos hates. So they shoot like cosmic beams at each other some more, and then Deadpool says that because Thanos granted Deadpool immortality, he's as much of a server of life as he is to death in like a way. So he kind of like does that switcheroo on him a little bit, which is a good perspective, I guess.
Right.
And then it, you know, becomes too much for Thanos, and then he explodes from all that power and we don't see him anymore, which is like the big climax. But that also returns Unipool back to Deadpool, and then Death seems pretty happy and leaves, which I think means that was like her plan all along. Rather than having Thanos kill all of Eternity, it was her way to get free from Eternity but also stop Thanos.
Right. Maybe she was just kind of sick of him.
It seemed like that was like her plan all along, was to actually have Deadpool save the day.
Right.
So,
dude, why'd they make Mrs. Death like so thick?
Dude, right, she here looks fucking fine.
I was like, damn, look at them hips.
She's wearing like a skin tight dress and she's showing them hips.
I know. I was like, geez.
She's got that hourglass shape, but she's like a skeleton at the same time.
So yeah, I'm like, what bone is that? The hip bone's wide.
I understand Deadpool's obsession and Thanos's.
Yeah, I'm like,
I would simp for Death.
Yeah, for sure.
So now everything's all happy. But, you know, there's a really good line in there that Deadpool says. And he says, without Death, life takes itself for granted. And without wondering how best to live our lives, we forget to appreciate the grandeur and beauty that is, well, you, Eternity. So, you know, sometimes silly comics can hit hard. You know?
Yeah.
Oh, and then, like, immediately after that, they go into, like, Eternity being ticklish. Remember that?
Yeah.
So
he's like, where do you want to go? He's like, oh, I'd like to go there. And he points to Earth. And then he's like, ticklish for some reason.
And then they just like have fun. They have a good old time.
There's a really good line in here that I like. He's like, Eternity's like, since you seek no gratitude or payment, I will simply reward you with a promise.
Oh, yeah.
Blah, 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 blah. And he's like, whoa, I didn't say I required no payment. Look, I'm a reasonable guy. How about 60% of the profit on my pool captain variant action figure?
Yeah.
And I'm like... And then I looked for it, and it's not a real thing. I was pretty salty about that. Because yeah. It looks kind of cool.
He does look pretty cool. I like how he mentions it, like, literally, like, the next page. He's like, the Captain Pool action figure bombed, so I need to, like, go back to being an assassin.
Right.
So, yeah, anything. Everything kind of goes back to normal. And Deadpool, like, tries to kill Doom again, and he ends up failing. But we also see that Black Talon gives up being like a master of the dead because, you know, the way he explains it is that he's seen what a love of death will do to a person. So he chooses not to spend another day wanting its embrace, essentially. Mm-hmm. And then that's the end.
And I guess Thanos is stuck in his mirror.
Thanos is like, I think that's just to be like Thanos is still alive in some form or another.
Mm, okay.
So moral of the story, don't be a simp.
Yeah, don't simp.
No simping. So, yeah, that's the end of the trade, and then we'll go into some back matter matters.
Tim Seeley knew what he was talking about prior to simp even being a word.
Yes, exactly. Yeah, when was this book? When did this book come out?
2014?
Yeah, simp wasn't even a thing then.
Yeah, no.
So, yeah, we'll go into back matter matters.
Back matter matters.
Which essentially consists of a bunch of variants. Daniel has a couple of them, but... The one that he has is one by Ron Lim. Got a big sword. There's like a couple action figure variants, which are pretty funny. But
have you gone through them all?
All the variants?
Yeah.
Yeah, I've looked at all of them.
Can I see?
Probably the best one is like this one on the right. It's by Alexi Bricklot, I think is her name. I haven't seen her stuff before, but it's like really good. But yeah, look through all those variants. There's some good ones.
Damn, this is a lot.
Yeah, there's quite a bit.
There's Deadpool and Thanos at like a taco truck with Punisher.
Mm-hmm. Punisher's there for some reason. Yeah, whenever they do these, there's like a lot of variants. So there's a lot to look at.
Which is cool. Yeah, a ton. So those action figure variants, they're just on like the first page of like these, and it's like a longer banter in between.
Yeah. Oh,
they're,
no, they had that in the...
That was in there too?
In the actual story, like between each issue, they had those action figure ones.
Okay, cool. Yeah, so... I didn't really know very many artists when this came out. This is one of the first books I started picking up, just because I liked the idea. So I just picked the ones I liked the most.
Right.
Then we got some cover sketches, some sketches for like pages and stuff.
Those are actually like the variant cover sketches, which is pretty cool.
And they have some unused variant sketches.
Yep.
By Ron Lim. Those are pretty cool.
Yeah, Ron Lim's good. He's the one that did the big sword. So.
Yeah, that's a good one.
And then I think there's also some script in there as well, right?
Yeah.
Which we love seeing. I think it's like the first couple pages of the first issue.
Yeah.
And kind of shows how that all came together, which I like to see. So, good back matter.
Should we start rating books? What do you get it like out of 10?
So, I was thinking this. What if we did it based off of chain fast food sizes? So, like in as an example... From Cold Stone, did you like it? Did you love it? Or do you got to have it? You know?
This is definitely a like it.
This is definitely a like it for me. Or like...
So if
this is like a Starbucks tall for me. Definitely not a... Maybe a grande.
So what about ones that you like hate? What do you say?
I'd say it's like a...
You're on a diet?
Yeah.
Okay.
Don't go at all.
Yeah. So I kind of...
It's like a small iced water.
I like the Cold Stone... reference just because like it's very simple and there's only like four you can choose from.
Yeah,
so I think I give this one a like it.
Is this a box combo from Canes for you?
Ooh. I think this is more of a three finger combo for me.
Okay, that makes sense.
Or like a kid's
meal. I say this is a box combo.
A box combo.
Yeah, that's
think about all the things that could be box
it's
combos.
Like four and chicken
best,
wings
and then the best thing. Okay, so the best
four
thing
chicken
ever.
Wings four issues Daniel
Nathan listen the best thing that you've read, like a Batman Year One or whatever.
Yeah. That's the Caniac. Yeah.
And so the one thing below that is going to be this?
Maybe it is a three finger.
That's what I'm saying.
And then what What's the other option at Cane's? It's like the sandwich, right?
Chicken sandwich, which no one ever gets.
That's garbage.
That's like the...
That's the Iron Fist one.
I want to try it. Yeah, so that's like the...
That's like Iron Fist Phantom Limb for
us. I think I like Cane's better.
Okay.
I give this a Caniac combo.
If you come across other fast food chain sizes that are ridiculous, I'm totally open for that as well. But most of my reviews...
This one's definitely super size.
Yeah, exactly. Like a Batman Year One, that's a super size.
I guess like the Starbucks one's pretty good because like it's different weird names. It's not just like small, medium, large.
Like I think this, you know, if it's a good book, like it's definitely like a venti. But if it's like the best of all time, it's like a Trenta.
Bruh, this is a grande meal right now.
Yeah, Deadpool versus Thanos is definitely a grande, I would say. Totally enjoyable and like it's over pretty quick.
No, like a grande meal from like Taco Bell. Have you ever had one of those?
No, I haven't.
Oh, it's fucking awesome. I used to get them at like $20 and you get like 12 tacos and like 12 burritos.
Yeah, a box. You could do like a party pack, you know?
Party pack.
If a book's really good, it's a party pack.
Okay. But I think we both agree that it's perfectly fine. It's not absolute shit.
It's pretty fun.
Pretty fun.
If you want, you know. It's got like...
Did you expect more out of this, in all honesty?
Yeah, probably.
Yeah, okay.
No. I mean, what more could I have expected? They literally went outside of everything that ever was. I liked it. I think it's good. I think upon your second read, I think you maybe...
I'm thinking more critical of it how highly I like held it prior.
Yeah. I don't think the nostalgia was there for you when you were rereading it. But I enjoyed it because...
Okay.
It can kind of burn me out a little bit when there's like random obscure characters that like I don't know.
You know? That's always...
But they don't play like a pinnacle role in the story. Like they use Black Talon to go to hell and they use Abyss Man to go to hell. Even though I didn't know who those characters were, you know?
Yeah.
But, you know, in general, I don't really like when Marvel comics go to hell, but there's at least a fresh new take on it.
Right.
So I'd give this a three-finger combo. Yeah.
Okay. Agreed.
Cool. So now we'll go into the pull list, : shove it in your box.
The pull list, what did you shove in your box? So, I didn't go today, but I know what I'm going to get.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to pick up Eternals.
Yep, pick that up.
See how that is. Mm-hmm. Who writes that? Sam Humphries or something?
I think it's Keith.
Keith Giffen? Oh, that makes sense.
Let me see, actually. Let me pull up my app.
And then...
No, Kieran Gillen, sorry.
Kieran Gillen. He does a lot of Star Wars
stuff. With Asad Rubik, who does the art, and I'm super excited about that.
Oh, nice. And then I'm going to get Star Wars The High Republic.
I didn't know that was a comic. I thought that was a book.
So there is a book, and there's also a comic that I don't know if it... I think it's different content, though.
That's annoying.
I think Charles Soule is writing the book.
Charles Soule wrote the book.
And so this is the comic. I don't think it's a comic adaptation, but it's like coincides with that. So I think that's dope. So this is like 2,000 years before like the prequels.
Yeah, it's a different story.
So we'll definitely see how that is. I think this is really cool. I think.
So Charles Soule right now is doing the main Star Wars book, which number 10 came out today.
Right, which is like still like that bit between like 4 and 5. I think.
Yeah, I think so.
It's that played out.
The High Republic is by someone I haven't heard of. Kevin Scott. Something, but yeah, he wrote the book. Charles Soule wrote the book,
right? So that might be worth picking up. If I don't read a lot of books, I have some books,
yeah,
they're written by Charles Soule, but like, still,
I like Charles Soule a lot.
Yeah, he's definitely good at this,
yeah.
but yeah, I'm excited for that. I think like all the really old history of like Star Wars is probably what I'm most interested in, just because like,
yeah,
I know nothing about it.
It's more fresh and as someone that understands Star Wars, like you can get where like the fun ideas are.
Yeah, and I think the concept of having like a lot of Jedi is like cool.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll see how that goes.
Nice. Yeah, I also picked up Eternals. I picked up Thor and Venom, and then the Future State stuff. So it was the next Batman,
and then Wonder Woman.
Wonder Woman, yep. Okay. And then there's Future State Green Lantern number one that comes out, which is cool. Also, what's cool is like a lot of these Future State ones are just 2 issues, besides the Batman one, which is 4.
Okay.
But most of these are just 2.
Okay, then that might be worth like just picking up.
Yeah, because like if you like the character, you should probably pick it up just because it's only two issues, you know?
Mm-hmm.
If they're launching, like...
ongoing series?
Yeah, there's, like... if there's, like, 30 different books coming out, that's a little bit much.
I kind of like this, because, like, if they're just, like, trying to push, like, this imprint or whatever that, like, isn't sustainable, but they try and make it sustainable...
It's like DCU, but they're not doubling down, I guess. They're just kind of doing the thing where, like, there's some fun ideas here.
Yeah.
So, like... and I think because of that, I will pick up a Shazam book, or Nightwing is in there, or...
So there's, like, more to come out next week?
Yeah, next week is Dark Detective, and that's one of the four-issue ones. I think it's, like, another Batman-related book. Green Lantern, and the rest of these are just two issues, but Green Lantern, Justice League, Kara Zor-El, which is Superwoman, Robin Eternal, Superman and Wonder Woman, and then Teen Titans.
Okay.
And so those are
I'll look at the covers and decide what I want.
Yeah, typically with something like this, I'll see if there's anybody I recognize. Mm-hmm. And if I don't, I'll look at the art, and that's typically what'll do me in.
We could do an episode on Future State where, like, you buy half the books and I buy the other half.
Sounds miserable.
Yeah, it might be.
It's a lot of issues.
It is a lot of issues.
So, yeah. I didn't read any comics. I meant to, because this trade was only four issues, but... you know,
you're a big poser.
New Year's and everything, it all happens at Fest. So. Yeah. But
we watched the movie Soul.
We did watch the movie Soul.
Pretty good.
It's a good Pixar movie. Yeah, I wasn't like super jazzed about watching it at the time.
I honestly thought it was going to be more about music, but it was just kind of there a bit.
I'm kind of glad that it wasn't. Because one of the reasons where I was like, I don't want to listen to like a bunch of jazz. I guess right now I wasn't in the mood because I was hungover.
Right.
And so, yeah, it wasn't a lot of that, but I think it's a good story.
I think they tackled, like, the meaning of life concept that they were going in it with, like, as best as possible.
I think so, yeah.
And then just, like,
just enjoy the little things, but still like what you like, I guess.
Yeah, and then kind of, like, explaining, like, how life is in, like, a kid's way.
Yeah, it's like, not, like... the best like,
as possible.
Because... that's like a big question is like, what's the meaning of life, or like, what's my purpose?
Yeah.
And this movie's like, you don't have one purpose. You know, you're not born to do like this one thing.
Yeah.
You can still like that thing that you like, but also take a step back and enjoy the little things.
Yeah.
I think it's a good message.
Like comics.
Yeah. Like comics.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah. Pretty good.
So I liked it. Yeah. Tina Fey is good. Jamie Foxx is good. I don't like, it seems like the focus of the story shifts like halfway through the movie. Because it's like, this dude dies after he gets a big gig with a jazz person, and then he's trying to get back to life. And that's like half of the movie, and then the other half of the movie is he is back to life, but as a cat.
Right, yeah.
And so it seems weird that that's like, those are like just the two big sections of the movie, rather than it being like a typical like act one, act two, act three.
Yeah, I like the first act more.
And I feel like they, you know, the rules of the universe aren't super fleshed out.
Yeah, I didn't think about it that deeply.
I did, because I like to nitpick things.
Yeah, for sure.
At least now I do. But I do like that the abstract beings that were like kind of just running or going around, like, you know, the ones that just look like a singular line.
Oh, yeah.
Those are in reference to like a old... oh, fuck.
Like the Terry and Jerry or whatever?
Yeah, Terry and Jerry. That's in reference to... fuck.
Art.
It's like they're actual like light paintings. I forget what they're called. But it's like, who's like the artist?
Huh?
I think it's like a Van Gogh like light painting.
Oh.
Let me show you. Picasso. Here it is. It's like a Picasso light painting. That's what they look like.
Oh, weird.
Yeah. So pretty cool. Anyway, yeah, we watched Soul. I liked it.
We also watched the cinema classic. Flushed Away.
Flushed Away, yep. The classic DreamWorks movie.
Yeah.
We have a consistent movie night where we watch really underrated kids movies.
I don't think they're necessarily underrated, but the ones that we watched as kids and just wanted to revisit.
Yeah. I mean, Over the Hedge, absolute banger. Oh, wait, no, you didn't watch that one, did you?
Yeah, Sick Invite.
Yeah, sorry. I watched it, and it was great.
I think I've watched that movie more times than anyone needs to.
True.
So
it's good to revisit one last time, though.
Sure.
But yeah, we watched Flushed Away.
Yeah, some surprising voice actors that we didn't know about in there.
Yeah, Hugh fucking Jackman
plays Ian a McKellen.
Ian McKellen.
As a frog.
As a big frog.
Yeah.
Andy Serkis.
Yeah, dude. And he had like such a small role.
Kate Winslet, dude.
Yeah, the Titanic girl.
Yeah.
Like then that one guy who played Davy Jones.
Yeah. Plays like a big rat.
Yeah.
Yeah, that movie's like I definitely appreciate it a lot as an adult. You know, just
yeah, I'm like, wow, this is really simplistic, and it's everything it needs to be, and it's very well done.
It's got some good jokes.
I had no problem with any of it.
I thought of another one that we should watch, another underrated kids movie that we haven't seen in a while.
Is it underrated or just something that we watched as
kids? I think it's underrated.
Okay, what?
Surf's Up.
Dude, I was about to text you that.
Dude, I know.
I saw fucking like TikTok about it.
Oh, really? Because
it was like, explain the relationship with your father based off of a movie, and it's like the dad when he's about to like cut out the surfboard. I don't know if you remember that. They get like a block of wood and he draws it out, and then he's talking about how
he makes the surfboard's in there. You just got to get it out.
Yeah, he's gonna find.
That's it. Not his dad. It's just like a dude.
I think it's his dad.
I'll bet you money.
No, thank you.
Okay.
But it's like Jeff Bridges is that guy?
Dude, it totally is.
I was watching that video like five fucking times. I'm like, who the fuck is that? I know who it is. And then I look it up. I'm like, oh my God, how is he in this?
I was looking at like Shia LaBeouf movies because I was trying to find the peanut butter one that he did recently.
Peanut Butter Falcon?
Peanut Butter Falcon. I couldn't remember the name, but then I was like, Surf's Up? And I was like, oh my God, he's like the main Surf's Up dude.
Yeah. And then the dude from Napoleon Dynamite is like Chicken Joe. Did you know that?
The main, like Napoleon?
Yeah.
No, I didn't know that. It makes sense though.
Yeah,
we should definitely do that movie.
Yeah, that's definitely on the list.
Anyway, what else did you watch?
We haven't
even watched it and we're talking about it, but
what else did you watch? I think that's it. I was gonna watch like a movie for me, but I didn't. Mm. Oh no, I did. I watched this movie called Alone, and it's like a super indie movie. Like it came out like in 2020 actually.
Okay.
Made nothing.
Yeah.
I just saw it on like TikTok. And it was like a movie about like this girl who's like moving, and there's just like this guy who's like following her for a long time and like kidnaps her. And then she's just trying to escape. It's like, it's pretty good.
Nice.
You probably don't have to watch it. She gets away like and kills him.
That's good. And kills him.
Okay. Yeah. She like stabs him.
I get it's probably self-defense or something.
Like the trailer like really fucking sold this thing. I'm like, this looks really good. And then I watched it. I'm like, yeah, it was fine.
What's it on? Netflix?
You have to buy it on like Prime.
Oh, you bought it.
Or like rent it.
You rented it?
Yeah, like I paid money to rent this movie. Wow. And that's fine.
Good stuff.
It wasn't bad.
I made the mistake of while I was eating Taco Bell with Sophia, we were trying to find something to watch, and there's a option to hit play something on there.
Oh yeah.
What came up? Because we share the same profile on our Netflix.
Me and you?
Yeah.
Does it like recommend things for you?
No, it just plays something and it plays a random episode of or a movie or something.
Grey's Anatomy.
Yes.
Oh man.
I hit play something, it brings up Grey's Anatomy, and Sophia loses her shit.
Did she like that movie or that show?
She loves the show.
Oh.
And then she said the words that I did not want to hear.
We should watch this.
Yes, dude. And I'm like, no, because they're all the same, dude.
Don't do it.
They're all the same.
What?
Like all shows that go for 110 seasons.
16.
That's too many. And they're like 45 minute episodes. But they're all always an A plot, a B plot, and a C plot. And there's like all shit that's crazy. And then they all get resolved at the end. And then sprinkled in there are just like the actual characters of the show. A little bit of a development.
There's actually some episodes that are really fucking good that are not like that. It's just one plot that affects everybody.
I know. That's how Criminal Minds is too.
Okay.
Like, there's typically an A plot and at least a B plot. And then every like season finale, it's like, oh my God, this person is going to die. Who's like a main character and it's going to change the show for forever.
Yeah, dude. See, yeah. You've seen the show.
I have.
I'm so, like, we were really shotgunning it at the beginning, but now we're very slowly just getting through season like 14. I'm like, I fucking hate this show.
Dude.
But it's the only thing that Sarah wants to watch. And she's gotten to the point where she restarted it by herself to where she's not with me.
Dude.
She's on like season 4 right now. I'm like, this is not healthy.
There's better shows to rewatch.
I'm like, I'll give you like 10 shows that are better than this.
I know. It's so funny that you knew like exactly like what I was going to say.
I'm sorry about that.
So don't ever hit the play something. If you don't want to watch something.
If you don't want to watch Grey's Anatomy.
Yeah.
It's not worth the risk.
It's not.
Because 16 seasons of Grey's Anatomy is too much of a percentage on Netflix.
Yeah.
Like, the chances are probably, like, 1 in 5.
Yeah. That's so funny. And she's, like, she does, like, medical things, and so that's, like, things that interest her. So, dude, like, maybe I'll end up watching it.
If you ask, like, any pre-med major, like,
what their favorite show is.
Or if you ask someone what their major is and they say pre-med or something like that, I'm like, oh, do you like Grey's Anatomy? They're like, I fucking love Grey's Anatomy.
It shows my shit.
I'm like, I bet.
And it shows, like, a random episode in, like, season 13.
Oh, not a great season.
I didn't think so.
I just watched it. It's not.
So, anyway, I watched that as well.
That's funny. What happened in it? Do you remember?
A plot was there's some chick with a heart tumor and it's like really bad and it's like in her throat and stuff and she just bangs a lot of guys.
Dude, I just watched that one like fucking like Sunday.
Yeah. And then like there's the kid that has a tumor in his brain. Everybody has a tumor apparently in this episode.
But yeah.
He's got a tumor in his brain and his family is like, we'll let God figure it out. And I'm like, how do you get to season 13 before you do this? Like, oh, I don't want to save my kid because of God.
Right, yeah, I know.
I feel like that if it shows up in season 13, it had to have at least come up like once a season from there. Like, are there more episodes like that?
No, I don't think so.
There's no stubborn, like, I'm going to let God figure it out
people? I'll have to ask Sarah, but no, normally everyone's like, fucking fix me.
I refuse to believe that.
I'll ask her. You want me to call her right now?
Yes.
All right, hold on.
Actually, I don't know what she's doing, but yeah.
Probably nothing. I think she said nothing.
Did she watch the episode with you?
Yeah, she's with me.
So she knows what we're going to talk about?
Exactly.
Okay, let's see what she says.
Oh.
Hey, what are you doing?
Nothing, what are you doing?
I'm on the podcast. You're on the podcast. We have a question for you.
Oh.
So you know how, like, there's actually a button on Netflix that says, like, that...
Play
like,
something.
Play something, and it picks something randomly. And Nathan chose that, and it showed that episode with that girl with the heart tumor.
In Grey's Anatomy.
In Grey's Anatomy. Mm-hmm. You remember how, like, there's also, like, that kid that had, like, the brain tumor and, like, his parents were like, no, we'll let God figure it out or whatever?
Yeah.
Has that ever happened before where, like, someone's religion, like, kept them from, you know, getting treatment?
Before that episode.
I can't remember what season it was, but it was a girl, or maybe you already mentioned it, who had the spinal tumor, but they needed to get a shaman. I don't know if you've seen that episode yet.
Oh, yeah. Didn't the shaman just, like bless her or something or get, like, her permission?
No, she gave her the other part of her soul back. I'm embarrassed about how much of Grey's Anatomy I know, but that another part of her soul back before she could go into surgery, she'd die.
Oh, that makes sense.
Okay, so well,
there's no other God episodes though, because like they went 13 seasons before they pulled like a no, I'm gonna let my God figure this out, and I feel like 13 seasons in that had to have.
This episode too, where they wouldn't let them give blood, or he wasn't allowed to get blood because he's a Jehovah's Witness.
Interesting.
Okay, so I guess that is kind. I guess pretty
they,
close.
Okay. At least they don't do that all the time. Because I was, that's like the only episode of Grey's Anatomy I've seen, and it was like 13 seasons in, and I'm like, this has to have been done already.
Sophia almost like baited him into making him watch it. I'm like, don't do it.
I don't know. We're still talking about it.
Do it.
No.
It's a year-long project.
No, it's not a long project.
You know what I'm doing right now?
Watching Grey's?
Yeah.
What season are you on now on your rewatch?
Season 6, because George is dead, spoiler alert, and Derek just became chief because Weber was drinking again.
Oh, right. That's I brought up that like you're rewatching it while we're also watching it just because you like that show so much.
I just want to see the big episode, that's all. And then I'm going to stop.
Okay, okay.
That's fair, I guess.
All right, thank you for your help.
Thank you, Sarah.
You're very welcome, fellas.
All right, bye.
Bye.
That was Sarah, everybody. Yeah, round of applause.
That's my girlfriend.
My girlfriend came last episode.
She's my future landlord.
Yeah. Anyway, that was the poll list, unless you have anything else.
No.
Yep. So now we'll go into what we're going to read next week.
All right, so we got image or like independent stuff.
Do you want to do something for WandaVision, or do you think we should wait until we see the show to get like to understand what kind of it's referencing and then do an episode about it?
I think wait to see it since it'll be ongoing. We can do like two episodes on it or something.
All right, so yeah, we'll do independent book, and let's see what I got. Do you have anything off the top of your head that you've thought about?
No.
There's one that I thought about and I think would just be a fun book in general, and I've heard good things about it. It's called Shaolin Cowboy.
Oh, I think I've seen that.
And I saw it, and it, like, I think I made somebody's like list for like one of the better things that they've read. And I think, I don't know which one is like the first one.
Do you remember that TV show, Shaolin Showdown?
No.
Here, I'll show you a picture and unlock a memory.
But Shaolin Cowboys by Jeff Darrow. That one's also only 4 issues, but.
Do you remember these guys?
Oh, wow.
I know,
right? That's like a core memory from Inside Out. It's, holy shit.
I know. It's like something you're like.
What made you think of that?
You said Shaolin.
Oh, okay.
Jesus Christ. It spells an X here. 2003 to 2006. You were like.
So old.
You were like fucking 5 when this started.
5, yeah. Yeah. Oh, my God, dude.
Every time I hear the word Shaolin, because I think like. Weird thing that I know. I think Pete Davidson has the word Shaolin like tattooed on his stomach.
Why do you know that?
Because I saw a picture of him with his shirt off. No specific reason. I think it was for a movie.
Hmm.
And so I'm like, what the fuck? Is that like Shaolin Showdown?
No way. I love that show.
Dude, there's so many TikToks like that that just show you like these old ass TV shows. I'm like, I don't even remember any episodes about this, but I've seen it.
That's funny.
Dude, that's just... No, dude. You know what we should do? We should just do... speaking of...
Spit it out.
Shaolin. Yosagi Yojimbo.
We can do that as well, yeah.
I think that'd be fun.
We could also do like a planetary. We got, you know, God Country. I Kill Giants. Or we could do like a Valiant book.
I Kill Giants is not that good. I watched the movie, I think. No, I did read it. I'm sorry. I did read it. And it was just like underwhelming.
I was about to say, Bloodshot. We could do like a Valiant book. We could do like Bloodshot by like Lemire, or just a Lemire book. We haven't done any Lemire. Oh, just kidding. We have. We did Sentient.
Yeah, don't disrespect me.
Yeah, sorry,
dude. This shit's like not in any specific order. Hold on.
Shaolin Cowboy.
No, Yusagi Yojimbo.
Oh yeah, that's gonna be hard. Well, because that book's like super old. It's gonna be like a Hellboy, like trying to figure out. Where it starts, I guess. We were talking about Charles Soule before. Have you heard of his book, Letter 44?
Yeah, about the presidents?
Yeah. I like that series a lot.
Sounds boring.
It's not.
It's not?
Yeah. It took me by surprise. Because it's like, I guess there's like a ritual where presidents will leave a letter as they like leave office. They'll leave like a letter for the next president. Like telling him kind of what he needs to know, I guess.
I wonder what Trump's gonna say to Biden.
Yeah, it'll be very appropriate for this for what's going on right now too.
Okay.
And the idea is that he writes something to this president, and it fucks him up. Is the idea?
Does he kill himself?
No, he doesn't kill himself. But just the thing that he finds out is not what he was expecting.
No. Okay.
I think it's really good. I've actually read all of it. It's like 30-something issues.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, there's Letter 44, Volume 1, Escape Velocity is what it's called. It's by Charles Soule, and then art is from Alberto Albuquerque.
Cool, I'm down with that.
Okay, cool. Letter 44 by Charles Soule. I think I really like it. It's from Oni Press, which I don't think we've done an Oni Press book before.
Maybe.
So anyway, that's the show.
Indeed, traderwordspod@gmail.com. Email us, tell us what to read.
Yeah.
Traderwordspod on Twitter.
Yes. I'm at more like Nathick on Twitter.
Real Daniel Alejandro on Instagram, @DanielAlejandro on TikTok.
And thank you, Nathan Moss, for our music.
Our theme.
And theme. Sorry, just theme.
I do the rest of the music.
You do things too, whatever.
Stop discrediting me.
Yeah, I will continue to do it.
It took a whole 20 minutes to do this.
I know. What a shame. Happy New Year, everybody.
Happy New Year. Make sure to read comics.
Started off right. Today specifically is a bit weird with what's going on, but I hope everybody else is having a good start to their new year.
Forget about that.
Forget about all that.
Listen to the pod.
Read comics. It's escapism. It's good.
It's all we do.
Yes.
We escape everything.
Yeah. At any chance we get. All right. Thank you, everybody.
Bye.